Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. We've been studying the book of Galatians, and we're going to return to it. You remember that the theme of the book is Paul is dealing with the issue of legalism. And the first night that we started this book, I talked about what legalism was and what it was not. Basically, what legalism is it is taking things that are not in Scripture, maybe they're traditions, maybe they're practices that someone has come up with based on some Scripture, but it is a personal conviction that people expand to everybody else, as everybody else has to follow this. It's not in the Scripture, but it's something that maybe is based loosely on a passage, but it is a personal conviction that people are saying, well, everybody's got to do this, and anybody who does not follow this is really not in favor with God, okay? And that's kind of the way that we've defined legalism. So every time that I talk about that, that's what I want you to picture in your mind. It is something that is extra-biblical, that is, it's outside the Bible, and it is something that stated as necessary for God to truly accept us, okay? Now, what had happened in Galatia is some false teachers had come in. They were talking about the gospel. They said that, oh yeah, we believe in Jesus and we know He died on the cross for us, but that's really not enough. What you've got to do is, you know, trust in Christ, that's good, but really, to really be accepted by God, you need to go back underneath the Mosaic law. You know, you need to go back underneath the circumcision. You need to follow the certain holy days, and you need to go back underneath the traditions that have been taught us. So they were saying that it was Christ plus works. And what we said, I think the last time that we talked about this a couple weeks ago, is that you can never mix the oil of works with the water of grace. Okay? Oil and water didn't mix. Works and grace does not mix. You and I stand before God accepted solely in the beloved blood of Jesus Christ. It is because of Christ that we are accepted. Apart from Him, we're not accepted, but we are fully, completely accepted by God solely upon the blood of Christ. Now, we believe that we are to honor God and try to live for God, but everything that we do in our life is to be in response to what Christ has already done. It's not to win God's favor. It is because we have found God's favor in Jesus Christ. Okay, and there's a big, big difference in that, in what the Galatians are teaching, and also what the legalists would teach in our own day and age. The false teachers of Paul's day, they did not like the preaching of grace. They were basically the descendants. You might think of them as the philosophical descendants of the Pharisees. You know that the Pharisees was an external religion. It was all about what everybody was seeing. Okay, their heart was not in their worship. It was all about what people see. They had a bunch of rules, a bunch of traditions. They had rules for every single thing. They were very legalistic in the manner in which you were supposed to honor God, okay? And if you didn't follow the rules just by according to what they taught, then you weren't accepted by God. So that's the extreme example of legalism, okay? So the preaching of grace to that kind of mentality really doesn't mix very well, all right? So these false teachers, they came in, and they're trying to get everybody to come back underneath their way of thinking. Now, in order for that to happen, all right, they got to undermine the people's confidence in the Apostle Paul. All right. So what we're going to do now is we're going to begin a section in the book where Paul is defending himself, because they're trying to undermine his authority. They're trying to, you know, convince the people, oh, you don't need to listen to that Apostle Paul. Okay. Now, one of the ways, and the first thing that we're going to deal with, is one of the ways that they were trying to undermine the Apostle Paul was they were saying that, oh, Paul, listen, he's just a people pleaser. That's all he is. Look, he goes to this group here and he preaches one thing. He goes over to this group here and he preaches a totally different thing. Say, well, how do you know that that's what they were accusing him of? Well, we go to our verse for the night, chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So here we have Paul basically saying, does it sound like I am a people pleaser? So evidently they were accusing him of that. Okay, so does it sound like I'm a people pleaser? Bear in mind that in the previous two verses, Paul has basically said, anybody who does not preach what I preached to begin with, in other words, anybody who preaches anything other than the gospel that was first delivered to you, let them be accursed. If an angel from heaven comes down and preaches any other gospel, you let him be accursed. Well, does that sound like somebody who's trying to please people? I mean, cursing people is not the way to win friends and influence people. I mean, it's just, you know, you go to cursing people, you know, that's not people pleasing. Paul was not a people pleaser. The Apostle Paul was consumed with the message of Christ. We've learned this, you know, back when we were studying the book of Philippians. And we said that Paul said, for me to live is Christ. To him, everything was about Christ. The message of Christ was the single most important thing. He was not trying to impress people. He didn't want to offend people if he could get away with it. You know, if he could by any way keep from offending people, that's what he wanted to do. But as far as just trying to please people, for him, look, he's not trying to. I want the message to go out, whatever it takes for the message to go out. You remember when we did study the book of Philippians that Paul was a man that he was in prison. There were groups of people that were just rejoicing in the fact that he was in prison. And Paul's attitude was, look, man, I don't care as long as the message of Christ is going out. It doesn't matter if I'm in prison. I'm preaching to people I didn't get to preach to before. That's fine. So in other words, again, this whole idea of the message of Christ being the single most important thing to Paul, that was Paul's theme. Now, whenever we say this statement, make this statement, that Paul was not a people pleaser, a lot of people go back in their mind to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And so let's turn over there and read that, because Paul does make a statement that he wanted to be all things to all men. And we'll back up and read verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, somebody might read that and say, oh, well, that's Paul. See, he's trying. To the Jews he preaches one thing, to the Gentiles he preaches something else. Listen, we've already said Paul's main theme, I want the message of Christ to go out. So Paul's not going to compromise the message. He is not going to compromise the message of Christ and the need for salvation by grace through faith. He's not going to compromise that one bit. What is he saying? He's saying that, listen, when I go to the Jews, I tell them about their need of Christ, and I tell them, I show them in their own law how that they need Christ. I use the law because they understand the law. I go to this group of Gentiles over here, they don't know anything about the law. I don't talk to them about the law. I talk to them about the things that they understand. But the message is the same. This group over here, I'm telling them they need Christ. This group over here, I'm telling them they need Christ. Paul, listen, Paul's thing to him, his thing was, I want the message of Christ to go out. Whatever it takes to get the message of Christ out, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to compromise that message because that's the single most important thing. Paul, he would do anything that he could to get that message out, even if it meant making himself uncomfortable or his own tastes, his own preferences, I don't believe would have been important to him. And I've tried to think of a good illustration for this. You know, we sing primarily Southern gospel music. Southern gospel music, that's the type of music that we sing. It's good music. You know, we all grew up on it and we like it. There are other types of worship music, okay? Some of you listen to maybe contemporary Christian music. Some of that contemporary Christian music, I'm telling you right now, it is doctrinally sound. It is honoring to God. It is praising God. It is worshipful. There's nothing wrong. It's good stuff. Some people think the only thing you can do is selling gospel music. If you don't do selling gospel music, excuse me, if you're not doing selling gospel music, you're not honoring God, okay? What would Paul's attitude be, given that we know that for him, the main thing is Christ? Now, maybe he grew up, let's just assume, I'm sure he didn't. Let's assume, for example, that Paul grew up on Southern gospel music, okay? But he comes across people that are raised in a different culture, okay? Because that was Paul's thing. He was going from culture to culture to culture. All right, how would he deal with this group of people that are singing music that is not what he grew up on, but it is music that is honoring to God, it's worshipful, it's doctrinally sound? What would he do? Well, you know, look. You know, that's not my thing, but, you know, that's okay. You know, this honoring God, that's all, I'm all for it. You see? That was Paul's attitude. His own tastes and preferences took a back seat to the message of Christ. He's not going to compromise the message of Christ, no matter what. Okay? That's Paul's attitude. Listen, and Paul went to extremes at times to accommodate other people. There was once he circumcised Timothy. Okay? Another instance, he shaved his head, took a vow. Why? Because he was trying to accommodate a group of Jewish people. All right? Now, this was done very early on, and I think during this period of time, it was clear that, you know, what he was doing was not, he was not proclaiming that it was necessary for me to circumcise Timothy for him to be saved. It's not necessary for me to shave my head for me to be saved. There was no compromise with the gospel. Rather, what he was doing was accommodating some people's beliefs. Again, I think it was very early on in the history of the church. And I believe that there was a period of transition where the full doctrines of Christianity were not real clear to everybody, okay? And so Paul was, in a sense, accommodating the ignorance of some folks. When we get to the point of Galatia, though, listen, they're proclaiming traditions as necessary to be justified before God. And Paul's not going to put up with that. He is not going to compromise the message of Christ. Again, single most important thing to Paul, get the message of Christ out. Anything that confuses that, and that was what was happening in Galatia. Oh, they were talking about Jesus, but their emphasis on external things was compromising the message of Christ. And Paul said, look, we can't handle that. And so we have this very, very stern letter. Now, so Paul, you're a man pleaser. What does Paul say? Do I sound like a man pleaser? I'm not a man pleaser. Paul was no man pleaser. He was not just trying to please people. He wanted the message of Christ to go out. Now, a lot of times, someone who is guilty of something thinks that everybody else is guilty of that. If you've ever been around somebody who's just a notorious liar, for example, they think everybody's lying to them. And they accuse everybody of lying. All right. So a lot of times, we accuse people of being something that we ourselves are guilty of. I think that was the case with the legalist. They were accusing Paul of being a man-pleaser, when in truth, it was they who were the men-pleasers. It was they who were trying to please people. Now, the very nature of legalism is to please people, in a sense. It is an external religion. It creates a group of people who walk around with a list of things that they think, justifies me before God. These are the reasons why I am accepted by God. In order for you to be accepted by God, you're going to have to conform to this list too. Okay? So the very nature of it, it lends itself to me looking at my list, sneak a look at your list to see what you've got checked out. So what it does is it lends itself to judging one another and constantly trying to measure myself against everybody else, because it is an external relationship. It's an external religion. All right, is this making sense? All right, and because Paul at one time he had lived all that. He'd experienced that when he was a Pharisee, but he met Christ on the road to Damascus, and that made all the difference in the world to him. And he wasn't about to go back underneath that. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 3. Now, the Pharisees, again, that was their whole way of life. It was all about the list, see? And if you don't have it checked out, you're unholy. You're not accepted by God. We are, you're not. very external, very much a judgmental. Everybody's always trying to prove themselves. But listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. I really, really, really like this verse. Verse 3. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. What he's saying is, I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody. I don't even try to justify myself. I don't judge myself. It's a small thing that you look at me and judge me. I'm accepted by God, not by you. It's not what you think. It's what God thinks. Okay? I don't even judge my own self. I'm a poor judge of my own performance. Okay? So I don't even judge myself. I'm just looking to God. Okay? That is very liberating. That is very liberating. Can you imagine reaching the point where you don't sense a need to prove yourself to everybody else? Let me ask it this way. How many of y'all sing in the shower? Now, some of y'all can sing, so it's not as big a deal. But people like me, for example, you know, I sing in the shower. I open up my letter fly, you know, and I'm not intimidated because there's nobody to listen. There's nobody judging me. But if you were to get me in front of a group of people and say, okay, Brother Darren, we would like for you to sing a special and we'd like for you to sing it a cappella, because, you know, I don't have music in the shower either. You know, I'm going to clam up. I mean, you're not going to get me up there because that's scary, isn't it? Why? Well, because everybody's looking at me and everybody's judging me. But in the shower, man, hey, no big deal. Sing to your heart's content. Sing with joy, okay? That makes sense, doesn't it? Why? The difference is, in the one hand, there's freedom. In the one hand, there's no intimidation. There's nobody judging you, okay? On the other hand, everybody's looking at you. Everybody's evaluating you. Okay? That's what Paul experienced life like singing in the shower. Because he's not worried about everybody judging him. Okay? In the church setting, when we can all recognize that we are accepted in the Beloved, we're accepted by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we don't have to prove ourselves to one another, we don't have to judge one another. We don't even have to compare ourselves to one another. That creates a tremendous amount of freedom. Okay? It allows us to worship with joy. Okay? So as we stop and think about this, we realize that when we go into a legalistic relationship or a legalistic framework, a legalistic religion, there's some bad things that happen. Okay? There's some things that are really detrimental to our relationship with God when we do that. One of the first things that happens is we exchange joyful fellowship for fear and intimidation. Instead of having joyful fellowship, we have fear and intimidation. An external religion has people always trying to prove themselves. They're always trying to compare themselves. You'll hear people try to out-holy one another. They try to be more righteous than the other fellow. So one guy says, you know, I get up at 6 to read my Bible and pray. And so the other guy says, well, I get up at 5. The other guy says, well, I get up at 4. The other guy says, I don't even go to bed. I just stay up all night long reading my Bible and studying. See, you may have never experienced those kind of conversations, and it is a little bit of an exaggeration, but that does exist in such a legalistic framework. People are trying to out-holy one another. Well, I just don't go to those kind of places. Why do we say that? Well, because we want everybody to know how righteous we are. I just don't do those sorts of things. Because we want to kind of one-up the other fellow. Okay? So, when you have that kind of environment, you know, there's trying to intimidate the other person, trying to push them down. We have a tendency to like to point out what everybody else is doing wrong. Look at what they do. Look at what this group over here is doing. And what that does is it just creates an environment where there's people afraid of prying eyes. We don't want anybody to know what we really, really believe, okay? Because we don't necessarily go along with everything that's on everybody's list that everybody's circulating to make sure you get everything passed around. And I don't have everything checked out on my list. So I really don't want Mark over here to see my list, see? But Mark's over here and he wants to know, I wonder if he does that. I want to see his list. And he's over here trying to see my list. All right, now, when you've got that kind of environment in a church, what happens is everybody tends to separate. Instead of having fellowship, instead of having an environment where we nurture one another and encourage one another and help one another, we try to stay as far apart from one another as we possibly can. Okay? That's not good for the church. It's not good for our Christianity. And we're to have unity and we're to encourage one another. We're to help each other. We're to nurture each other. We're to be a support group for one another. Okay? But if everybody's afraid of what everybody's going to think about me, then you don't want them to know any more about you than it's possible. It's absolutely necessary, you see. So that's one of the things that happens when you have an external, you know, legalistic religion. Another thing that happens is it tends to lend itself to preacher worship. Because what we have is an environment where we're talking about extra-biblical teachings. We're talking about traditions. We're talking about, well, how do you put this particular thing into practice? And it's being taught as doctrine, okay? And if your traditions, your extra-biblical practices agree with mine, then, hey, I lift you up, you know. But if you disagree with me, then you know what? I don't have any respect for you, see? Because you don't practice things the same way I do, I'm not sure that I want to really hold you up, okay? But we find those preachers that we really, really agree with, and boy, those are the guys that we really like. And I'll tell you something, because of the nature of legalism, which is an external religion, which has a focus on the outside rather than the inside, the stricter the better, okay? So the man who is the harshest, the most overbearing, he's the one we're going to lift up the highest. And the man that says to someone, says, you know what? That woman wore pants, and she's not even going to come in my house. She comes in my house, I'm going to tell her right now she has to leave because she's wearing pants. Okay? That guy there, his political capital goes up, all right? Because he's so strict. The man whose child maybe commits some particular sin, and he says, I've disowned her. I've disowned him. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. His political capital goes up. You see? Why? Because in an external legalistic religion, it's all about how strict you are. And the more strict you are, the more you respect it, see? A very bad environment. You know, that's not the way of the Scriptures. Grace seeks to eliminate fear. Grace wants people to feel at ease. Grace does not try to instill fear. It tries to eliminate it, okay? Another thing that happens in such a framework is oftentimes there's a great disdain for unbelievers, the lost. Because we focus so much on ourselves rather than Christ, we tend to think, if we're legalists, we tend to think only about what you do and what you don't do. So anybody that doesn't do what we do, well, we just don't think much of them. I'll give you a wonderful illustration of this. It was a Pharisee by the name of Simon, who invited the Lord to his house. And a woman showed up. I don't know what was going on in the woman's life, but we can imagine some of it. But the woman began to sob as she stood over Jesus' feet. Jesus was in an inclined position. He was laying down. That's the way that people ate in that day. They kind of laid down on these little couch with their legs kind of extended out there. She evidently walked up behind him. And as she was standing there, she began to rain tears down upon his feet. When she did that, she then knelt down. She took down her hair, or maybe it was already down, I don't know. But she began to wipe the tears off his feet. She began to kiss his feet. She began to anoint his feet. I'm going to tell you right now, that woman there, she had unbounded love and devotion to Jesus Christ. That's what she was exhibiting. Just unreserved, no pride, complete humility. I just want to worship you. That's what she had. Simon's over there. And Simon sees all this. And his thought is, if his man really knew what kind of woman that was, he wouldn't let her touch him. You see the harshness in his words? You know, there's no graciousness there. Why does Simon have such harshness toward this woman who's obviously very troubled by something? Because He thinks that the real way to be justified before God is by being a good Pharisee. It's all about what you do. For the legalism, the legalists, even though they may talk about Christ, they really have such a focus on self and what they do that they are in the same boat. They have the same harshness toward unbelievers. Another thing that happens with legalism, when you come into the worship service, service can become very dull, very lifeless, because there is oftentimes there's a ritual that you have to do everything according to this way and this way. And I don't believe that this is very pleasing to God at all. In fact, we find, you know, Jesus himself making statements about people who would come and worship with their mouth. In other words, they're doing all the things formally you're supposed to do, but their heart's not in it. Okay, that's distasteful to God. God wants our heart. I'll give you an illustration of this. Imagine someone coming to your home. You've invited them to your home, but because of the way that you are preparing the meal, the way that you're presenting the meal, because of the way that you're, just the circumstances of the meal, everybody sits there and they're making sure that they don't do anything wrong. They're scared to death to do anything wrong. You know, you got to make sure you use the right fork. You got to make sure you use the right spoon, and you don't talk because you might upset someone, so you're going to be just real quiet and just real formal, okay? And you sit there and you eat, and there's sort of a stilted silence in the conversation. There's just no, all you hear is just the clinking of dishes, and that's it. And imagine you as a host, and people come to your, and that's the way that they, and that's the way that they partake in the meal. It's that sort of formal, cold environment, okay? How do you feel as a host? You're like, man, I want people to enjoy themselves, right? You want there to be laughter. You want there to be a hearty conversation, if not laughter. You want people to enjoy themselves. You want people to feel at home. You want people to feel at ease, okay? You want their heart to be in the meal. You don't want, when they leave, to have this great sigh of relief that finally it's over, right? Well, that's the way God feels. When people come to God's home, He wants His house, you know, we call it the house of God. He wants us to enjoy. I'm not saying jump pews and all this kind of stuff, but He wants our heart to be in the meal. He wants us to enjoy it, okay? He does not want us to sigh a great sigh of relief when we get out the door. When that last amen, man, I am so glad that's over with. You know, that's not what He wants. He wants us to enjoy ourselves. Well, because sometimes we become so ritualistic and so legalistic in the way that we worship, we create that stilted environment. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Again, I'm not saying jump pews and carry on and all this and get out of order or anything like that. But I am saying God wants us to delight in Him and delight in the service. He does. Just like you would want us to delight in coming to your house and eating. Another thing that happens with legalism, it creates stunted, immature Christians with no spiritual discernment. It creates stunted, immature Christians with no spiritual discernment. What do I mean by that? I mean that if I have to go to the preacher to find out what places I can go to and what places I can't go, if I have to go to the preacher to find out what is an acceptable excuse for missing church, how many minutes should I spend in prayer? How many minutes should I spend in reading my Bible? What should I wear? What should I not wear? If I have to go to the preacher for all those things, and he sort of, as the Pope, dictates what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, then I'm never going to grow. Also, the very nature of legalism has me looking to myself and not looking to God, and that alone keeps me from growing. What causes people to grow is the Word of God. If all that I preach is my thoughts, my opinions, and traditions, then I'm not feeding the people the Word of God, and they're not going to grow. Okay, it's the Word of God that people need. And finally, something that happens from legalism is it creates divisions where there ought not be divisions. Legalists are all about the list, and they are constantly trying to compare the lists. and they will get out of fellowship because they have a difference of opinion about something that's on their list that is not in the Scriptures. But they say, well, you don't agree with me, so we're going to have divisions. There are some things, frankly, there are some things that are worth dividing over. There are. There are some things doctrinally that are worth dividing over. Most things that we divide over are not worth dividing over. People have, churches have divided over some of the most insignificant things, things that are not in the Scriptures. When people don't have any Scriptures even in their arguments, that's just, look, I believe because brother so-and-so said that's the way we ought to do it, this is the way we ought to do it, and here you are, you're coming in here, and you don't agree with that, well, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to get rid of you. You know, that kind of environment, that kind of, look, those things, those sorts of things ought not be named among Christian people. But frankly, we are. Maybe you are all old enough to have seen some of that, and maybe you're not, but I'm going to tell you right now, it does exist. No unity, no harmony. That's what happens when we go into legalism. Paul said, you know what? That's not the world that I want for you, Galatia. I want you to love the message of Christ like I love the message of Christ. I want there to be no confusion about the name of Christ going out. I don't want us to focus on these things here that have nothing to do with Christianity, have nothing to do with our relationship to God. You are moving away from Christ. Legalism sucks the life out of a church. It sucks the life out of the Christian. Paul described it as moving away from Jesus, moving away from grace. In Jesus, there's life. If you move away from Jesus, there is no life. Okay? Legalism has hurt the church throughout its history. There was problems with it even in Paul's day. There's problems with it today. We all have a tendency to look at self rather than to look at God. Paul said, let's look at God. Let's focus on Christ. For Paul, this was not a big thing. Look, for him, his own tastes and preferences weren't that important. Whatever he had to do to get the message of Christ to go out, that's what he would do. He makes this statement in chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. Listen to what he says. And this is the way Paul lived. Verse 13, Galatians 5 and 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Paul, he was free from all men. But he made himself a servant to men. He wanted to be a blessing to people. And that was his objective. But that did not extend to the point of compromising the message of Christ. We must be clear. We must be very clear in our presentation of the gospel. There must not be any confusion about what separates us from the world. We must never forget our Damascus. You remember Paul on the road to Damascus met Jesus. And it was meeting Jesus that made all the difference in the world. The Christians are constantly accused of being hypocrites. You know why? Because we are oftentimes hypocrites. We too often talk about what we do or don't do rather than talk about what Christ has done. Okay? Paul said, let's talk about what Christ has done. Let's focus on Him. Let's lift up Him and not ourselves.